Welcome to the Cowie Baptist Church podcast. To learn more about Cowie, including our gathering times, visit us online at cowie.church. Enjoy the message.
Amen. So thankful that our God is a way maker, that when it seems like there is no way, that he reaches down into the midst of our brokenness, and that he is a redeeming and a restoring God. He is a missional God, and so we are a missional people, and so grateful that our God is still working, that even when there are times in our life when we can't see it, and even when there are moments where we are weary, we can know that our sovereign God is at work in the midst of those moments for our good and for his glory. And we're so grateful this morning that we are able to gather in worship to him, and so grateful for all of you being here, grateful for any guests that are here with us this morning. We just appreciate you being here so much. We'd love to connect with you. You'll see some connect cards in the back of some of the seats along the way. It would mean so much to me for you to turn one of those in with an email address or a phone number. We'd love to just send you some resources and some things that could be helpful in your walk. If you have the Cowie app, you can also go to the connect tab there and fill out a connect card there as well, whatever's easier for you. If you stop by the guest services table, we've got a gift for you there. And so just grateful again for the privilege of being able to go and be in Honduras this past week. It was an incredible blessing to me from Honduras that morning to listen to our services here. And man, what an incredible job that the team did here, and just, you know, an incredible blessing to be away and it not even feel like I'm away, right? Because God is still working. So appreciate just the work that God is doing through his people here. Was a blessing to hear from Casey and Jacob of their time in Central Asia and what God is doing there. Listen, it's a blessing for us to be able to join in God's activity. He doesn't need us, as Tim so well shared with Hope. But man, what a blessing that he chooses to allow us to be the vessels that carry his word. And so we're going to just jump in this morning. If you'll take your copy of God's word and turn to Acts chapter 8, we're going to look at the very first mission trip, short-term mission trip in Scripture, Acts chapter 8, verse 26 through 40. And if you will take your copy of God's word, stand when you get there, and honor of the reading of God's infallible, inerrant word. You'll see the verses on the screen as well. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Amen. Verse 26, but an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, get up and go south to the road that descends from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert road. So he got up and went, and there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace, the queen of Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure, and he had come to Jerusalem to worship. He was returning, sitting in his chariot, and was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, go up and join this chariot. Philip ran up and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and said, do you understand what you are reading? And he said, well, how could I unless someone guides me? And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of Scripture which he was reading was this: he was led as a sheep to slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he does not open his mouth. In humiliation, his judgment was taken away. Who will relate his generation? For his life is removed from the earth. The eunuch answered Philip and said, please tell me, of whom does this prophet say this? Of himself or someone else? Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning from this scripture, he preached Jesus to him. As they went along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, water, what prevents me from being baptized? And Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he ordered the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip as well as the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away, and the eunuch no longer saw him, but went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and he passed through. And as he passed through, he kept preaching the gospel to all the cities until he came to Caesarea. Let's pray together. Father, we are so grateful. God, we're thankful that you reach down into the depths of our brokenness. Lord, we thank you for testimonies like Jeff's this morning where you reach in and you save us and you reveal yourself to us through your word and through God, just the movements in our life. And God, you meet us where we are at. And God, we're so grateful for that. Lord, when it seemed like there was no hope, but God, Lord, you who are rich in mercy, God, you save and you work. God, we're so thankful. And God, we're thankful to see those who are saved, sent out on mission for the glory of your name. And I pray this morning, God, that you would remind us of our part, God, of our privilege to be part of the mission of God, Lord, of your great mission, Lord. And we pray, God, that you might allow us to leave with praise on our lips, God, and in light of your grace, Lord, that you might that we might gladly go and declare your goodness to all, Lord, you allow us to encounter. Father, we love you. We thank you for your love for us. God, we pray if there's someone here, God, that may be like this Ethiopian eunuch, God, searching, trying to satisfy with things that will never satisfy. Broken cisterns that, as we heard last week, won't hold water. God, we pray that they might see Jesus is all they need. And that today, they might surrender their lives to him and be changed by your glorious grace. God, we love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated this morning. My hope is that we would see ourselves as missionaries, whether it be in the marketplace or the schoolhouse or wherever we may live, as the jail, the places that God allows us to go, nursing homes, people that are all around us in need of the good news of the gospel. The term missionary is a pretty simple term. I'm going to throw a really simple definition on the screen for you. It's just a person undertaking a mission. All right, very simple. Now, we know as Christian missionaries or as a missionary that's a Christian that this person is going with the good news of the gospel and declaring the glorious grace of our great God and the life-changing message of Jesus Christ. We think about a mission field many times, and we understand God sends us to places and he sends us to people, right? We understand, and we think about a mission field, a lot of times we think about that as a certain area or as a certain place. But I want you to think of a mission field, and if you're following along the app or in your worship guide, you'll see some of these blanks, right? But a mission field is someone needing the ministry of a missionary. Charles Spurgeon, in a sermon, shared a quote that has always stuck with me, and I'm going to read a little past it in that, but he said this: every Christian here is either a missionary or an imposter. Recollect that. You either try to spread abroad the kingdom of Christ, or else you do not love him at all. It cannot be that there is a high appreciation of Jesus and a totally silent tongue about him. Of course, I do not mean by that those who use the pen are silent. They are not. And those who help others to use the tongue or spread that which others have written are doing their part as well. But that man who says, I believe in Jesus, but does not think enough of Jesus ever to tell another about him by mouth or pen or tract is an imposter. Now, you heard the joy of just a couple of testimonies this morning of what God is doing and being part of the activity of God. And man, what a joy it is. And so, man, what a strong word from Spurgeon. But I want to tell you this morning, either you are a missionary, right? All believers, either you are a missionary or you are missing out. You are missing out on the greatest joy that you will ever experience when you are on mission for the glory of his name, walking in obedience. And we're going to look at Acts 8, a few verses there. First, short-term mission trip in the scriptures. We want to kind of lean into where we're at in this spot. Jesus has been crucified. He has risen from the grave. He has ascended into heaven, and the church has exploded. God is doing an incredible work. The authorities, the religious leaders, the government does not like it. They're trying to stop it. The pressure comes on, but suppression doesn't stop it. The gospel is going forth. In Acts 7, we would read about Stephen, the first martyr. We would see he is being stoned, and he is martyred for his faith. There is a great persecution as we begin Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, verse 1, we see Saul is persecuting the church. He is ravaging, the scripture says, the church. He's dragging men and women and he's putting them in prison. And this persecution in Acts chapter 8, verse 1, we see that it results in a scattering. And so when we read Acts chapter 1, verse 8, and we are reminded that we're going to be witnesses, he says, "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth." We understand that Acts chapter 1, verse 8 sees its fulfillment, and we see this incredible work taking place even through this difficult time in Acts chapter 8, verse 1. And persecution results in the proclamation of the gospel. In verse 4, we see that those that went out, that they went out preaching and proclaiming the word of God. They were driven out, but I want you to understand, when you've been born again into the family of God, you may be driven out, but if you're sold out, then the gospel is going to go out. And so when they were driven out, the gospel was sent out, and great things are taking place. We pick up and we see about this man named Philip. We see him in Acts chapter 6 as one of these men who are serving and waiting on tables. He has been set apart by his congregation. Maybe we would look at him as one of the first deacons, but what we know about him is he was a man who was living for Jesus wherever he was at. He was scattered, he was sent, and he ended up in a place called Samaria. Now, we would understand about this that this place would be the last place that a Jew would probably want to go. There was tremendous racial tension there. There was hatred between the Jews and Samaritans, but God is doing a great work among all people, right? And we're seeing a move of God, and he is being part of this, and an angel of the Lord, scripture says in verse 26, sends him. He says, "Get up and go south to the road that descends from Jerusalem to Gaza." Now, this is in the midst of this great move of God, big crowds, lots of people coming to Christ, and God sends Philip, and he sends this man, he sends him to go 165 miles down to this little place called Gaza to meet one person who God has been preparing, and he travels and engages there. And God, I want you to see in this passage, God tells him, he says, "Get up and go." And this is like Christianity 101. This is what happens. He said, "Get up and go." And guess what Philip did? He got up and went, right? This is how it works, right? You want to know what it looks like to apply today? When God says, "Get up and go," you get up and went, right? That's why I don't know how to say that, but you go, right? That's what you do in that place. And could that be said of us, right? Could that be said of followers of Jesus Christ? We might say, "Hey, man, I mean, I'm too busy for that. I'm an introvert. Like, listen, you don't get like a card that says you don't go because you're an introvert. You're still part of the mission." Like, we need to listen too, right? You guys are probably going to do better at that. Sometimes we're like, "Hey, send somebody else. I've got too much to do." But listen, you're either a missionary or you are missing out. Scripture says immediately Philip made his way there. He gets there and he sees this leader from Ethiopia who had been to Jerusalem to worship. And the Holy Spirit says, "Go and join this chariot." This still small voice. Right, the still small voice that some of us may have heard, go and talk to that waiter. Go and witness to your neighbor. Go and share with your classmate. Verse 30 and 31, we see this. Philip runs up and hears him reading Isaiah the prophet. And he says, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And he says, "How can I? How could I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. This hasn't changed. God still works in the same way. He changes lives one person at a time. It still happens by one person who has been saved by the grace of God, who has experienced life in Christ, telling another person how God can change their life too. That's what we heard Jeff share as him and Nick, as they shared their testimony. It was one person who had found life in Christ saying that we have a God who is the way maker, a God who reaches down into the midst of our brokenness, a God who is at work even when we don't see it. And he shares and he meets them right where they were at. Philip starts there in Isaiah 53, this prophecy that's about Jesus, and he shares the good news of the gospel. He begins to tell them about Jesus. He shared of the cross and of the redeeming work of Christ. And somewhere along this journey, this Ethiopian leader understands that God has sent this man to share the good news of the gospel, and he believes that Jesus Christ is the Lord, right? The Son of the living God, right? That you are the Messiah. He believes, and he takes, Philip takes the Old Testament scriptures and the prophecies that pointed to the Messiah, and he allows him to see that they've been fulfilled in Jesus Christ, and that all he has been searching for and all that he has been looking for, that Jesus is the answer. And he comes to know him as Savior. He comes to know him as Lord. And somewhere on that journey, right, Philip has shared with him that the response to that, that the response to this surrender is obedience. And the very first step of obedience is to be baptized. And they come to some water. And the eunuch looks to Philip and he says, "What prevents me from being baptized?" And he says, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And they go into the water and he's baptized, right? And so here's this man who was willing to step out of his comfort zone, a man who was being obedient to the Spirit of God. He goes, and what he finds out is when he gets there, man, God has been preparing the way. God has been at work, that he is working. And in the story, right, we see a few things, right? We see this guy and something is missing. Right? Something was missing. He is searching. And we see people all around us searching for answers in other things, right? Tom did a great job last week just reminding us of this search and this desire to find satisfaction and this way that our world is looking, right, for satisfaction, and that it can't be filled by anyone other than Jesus Christ. The world is looking for something to bring joy. The world is looking for something and they don't know what it is. But just like we see, and the answer is Jesus. These people are looking for joy. They're looking for happiness. Philip meets this eunuch and he knows the only one that would fulfill that need. And he says, "Look no further. Look to Jesus. He is the answer," right? So something was missing. Number two, someone was on mission, right? This guy's willing to go. And he is sharing. When is the last time that we have shared our faith? When is the last time that we've shared our testimony? You know, one of the most convicting things about this trip was what Hope shared, that when you look around, man, I'm so grateful that we go and that we share the good news of the gospel wherever God might send us, whether it's Central Asia or Honduras or Africa. But God is doing a work right here in our city. The church is placed in a city for the good of the city and for the proclamation of the gospel and the growth of the kingdom in that place, right? We understand that. He said, "We'll receive power and you'll be my witnesses." And our story is so powerful. Hearing the testimonies this morning of God's grace and his mercy, and it encourages us. He went, and isn't it good to know that we don't go on our own? Philip's going in the power of the Holy Spirit, and he's sharing the good news of the gospel. He took a risk, right? But he was prepared to share. He was ready to share. Something was missing. Someone was on mission. If you've noticed, as we've read our memory verses, as we've been going through the reading plan over the last few weeks, all of the memory verses have come out of the Romans Road to Salvation, or come out of Romans, where we've been learning and preparing so that we can share the good news of the gospel, right? And the good news begins with the bad news, that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, that our righteousness is as filthy rags in his sight, that there's not one of us righteous, not even one. And this week's memory verse, right? The wages of sin is death, separation from God, eternally separated from God in a place called hell. And I want you to understand that it is life or death what we're dealing with. And we have the good news of the gospel, right? That God demonstrated his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, right? Something was missing. Someone was on mission. And what we saw in this passage is someone was made new, right? Someone that was in the midst of their brokenness, someone that was in the midst of searching, right? That God, in his grace and in his goodness, sent Philip to share the good news of the gospel, and he was made new. He was born again into the family of God. And I believe this week in Honduras, I got to experience a moment like this. Hope was talking a little bit about the hospital and being there. And I've got a picture or two where we were praying as we were getting ready to go into the different rooms in the hospital. And it was a scene like I had never seen before. We get there, and what I'm made to understand is that there are families and they are gathered outside of this hospital. We had an opportunity where Pastor Chris was prepared and ready to share. He didn't know he was going to share. Translator said, "Hey, come over here. You're going to share the gospel." And in that moment, He engaged and shared the good news of the gospel with families, so many families that were waiting outside of this hospital, and many of those people responded to the good news of the gospel, and I believe passed from death to life. And right in the midst of their difficulty, God sent missionaries to share the good news of the gospel. Now, I was wondering, like, what are all these families? Why are they outside? Well, there's a certain limit of when they can go in the building for visitation and those kind of things, but this hospital does not have the things that a patient might need. So if you've got a broken leg and you need a rod and some screws and the things that are there, they don't have those things in the hospital. And so this family would go and then go to a pharmacy where they would purchase the items that were needed for this surgery and needed for those things. And now my mind's just like blown about those kind of things. And so we get into this hospital, and we began to walk around, and first, so we kind of just drew out of a little cup and said, this is the part of the hospital that you're going to. And so they said, hey, Jason's a team leader, and he's the team leader. And I reach in there and I pull it out, and it's like over maternity. Perfect. I'm like, I'll go where you send me, you know, whatever, it's good. So we get to the hospital, and I'm kind of thinking about what I'm going to experience there, and they figure out that I'm going to maternity, and they say, we think you should probably swap with this lady over here, because we think she'd probably be a little better in maternity. And so I don't remember who I swapped with, but I ended up with the men's ward. And so I ended up with men's surgery and men's area in the hospital. And so when we walk in there, the way this thing's laid out, they've got rooms, and there are maybe rooms from here to the other side of the stage and maybe a little narrower. And these rooms are just stacked with bed after bed after bed. And there's enough room to walk between them. And these men, there's nothing separating any of them. And when I first walked into the very first room, it was very humbling as I looked around, and you could see these young men and old men and all kinds of different things, and they're all in like Depends undergarments because they don't have people to take them to the bathroom, so they're sitting there basically in that kind of setting, and I thought, wow, man, I can't even believe that. I would look, and there would be people that things that would have happened in the U.S., that we would have had an operation and been home in 2 days. They were there for months, and some of them may have been waiting for money to be raised or maybe waiting for certain things to happen, and I am overwhelmed by looking at just the conditions that they're in. One young man, he pulls back his leg, and the bottom part of his leg is black, and I'm thinking, man, this guy's going to lose his leg. I mean, if God doesn't intervene, and he pulls back, and you can just see all of this brokenness and all these things that are there, and I'm thinking, what are we going to do? You know, how do we? So we go bed to bed, and we're praying over these people, and we get toward the end of the amount of time that we had there, and one of the leaders from Sparrow stopped by the room that I was in, and he said, you guys have about 15 minutes left. So we finished praying with the last person there, and we go out into the hall, and I'm thinking, okay, which room do we go in next? And there's just room after room after room, and I'm thinking, well, our team's probably got this room because it's close by, and our team's probably got the next room. So I just kind of pass those, and I look in one, and I'm like, let me go to the next one. And so I went in, and we turned into that last room, and there was just really neat God stories in the room. But the third person that was in the room, I walked up to him, and he was a young man, and I looked at him, and I said, hi, my name's Jason. I said, I'm a missionary from North Carolina, and God has sent me to share the good news of Jesus Christ and his great love for you. What's your name? He said, my name's Eduardo. And his leg was all bandaged up, and most of the other legs bandaged up were as a result of a motorcycle accident. So I looked at him, and I was like, motorcycle accident? He looks at me, and he says, no. He said, I was shot 5 times with an AK. And that was my reaction. I was like, whoa. So I began to talk to him, and I said, man, God spared your life, didn't he? And I looked up, and on top of his bed on the side, he had a Bible sitting there, and I pointed to the Bible, and I said, tell me about the Bible. What's going on with that? And he looked at me, and he said, I believe God did spare my life. And he said, I got this Bible, and he said, I've been trying to read it and figure out who he is. I said, well, I believe God sent me from North Carolina for this moment to tell you who he is. And I opened his little Spanish Bible to the book of Romans, and man, the numbers are the same. All that works pretty easy. And so I'm like, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, right? And so, and I'm taking him through Romans, and we're talking, and we get through this passage in Romans. We've talked about, you know, all these things, and we get to Romans 10:9, and I can tell he is visibly shaken by everything that's going on. And I look at him, and I said, man, the scripture says that if you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. And I said, you got to understand, I don't know his whole story. It's not often you get shot with an AK if you're into some good things. I mean, I don't know. But I said, man, if you're ready to turn from all that, repent of your sins and trust in Jesus as Lord and Savior. The scripture says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart, and in that moment I put my hand on my heart, I said, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. I said, if you believe and trust him with everything, man, I said, he'll save you. He'll change you. He'll grant you forgiveness and grace. And I asked him, I said, are you ready to surrender your life to Christ? And in brokenness, he said, yes. And I got a picture that someone took. And in these moments, he's got his hand on his heart as he surrenders his life to Christ. And I was in that moment, and I was thinking, man, like, this is crazy. Like, this is awesome. I thought, what a great God. And I was thinking about it from my perspective. And then all of a sudden, I just kind of stepped away from it for a second. And I said, can you imagine being this Honduran guy in a public hospital where hope is not great, knowing that God had spared your life after being shot 3 times with an AK, and you open the Word of God and you say, God, I'm trying to figure out who you are. God, I want to know you. I want to know who you are. And all of a sudden, some bald-headed guy from Franklin, North Carolina, right, walks in your room and says, hi, my name's Jason. I'm a missionary from North Carolina here to tell you about Jesus, right? And I'm going to tell you something. That's how our God works, right? That's who our God is. He have a missional God, and he's sending his people on mission for the glory of his name, right? And he is working, but I'm afraid that sometimes in the midst of our lives that we get lax and we get lazy and we leave it for somebody else, but God is at work. And let me tell you something. God does the saving. Forget your notes. I'm not going to finish them all, but listen, God does the saving, right? This is how it works, right? Man, I carried this thing all through Honduras. I carried it all the way through Honduras. This water bottle was my friend. But I want you to understand something. I could have carried this water bottle all week long and it wouldn't have helped me any if it wasn't for the water that was in it. But I want you to understand that this water bottle was a vessel. Yeah. That carried the water, right? That refreshed me. And listen, God don't need any of us. But I want you to understand something. He allows us to be part of the work that he is doing. And we are like this water bottle, right? We are vessels that are carrying the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that we have the word of God and the answer of God. And there's a world out there that is broken and searching. There's a world out there that is in desperate need of the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And how can we have such great news and not share it? How can we, who have been saved by the grace of God, right? When we sung that song this morning, oh, but God, right? I remember what it was like to be lost. I remember what it was like to be wandering and lost and without hope. And I thank God, right, that he sent someone to share and declare the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And may we be a people, right, that'll be like Philip, man, that'll be loving, that'll say, listen, we want to share, and we love you, and we want to engage and tell you what God has done in our life. May we be a people that'll be abiding in Christ so that we can be led by the Holy Spirit of God, that we might be sensitive to his voice, and that we might be obedient when he calls, that still small voice and those urgings, that we would say, listen, I'm going to take a risk anytime, and I'm going to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And may we lead them to the scriptures, because it is from the scriptures that they will find hope. How will they hear unless someone is sent? How will they know, right? And how beautiful, right? Boy, isn't it beautiful? Look down at your feet and say, man, them puppies look good today, right? You look down at your feet, because the scripture says how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And if you are a born again believer in Jesus Christ, I want to remind you this morning that you are sent, that you are part of the work of God. If you're willing to engage in the mission of God, and if we'll go, it'll amaze us what God is already doing. And if we'll share, it'll amaze us who God will save. Man, we need to go, because we got work to do. We've got good news to share. Who is it that God is calling you to engage with? And wherever you're going, right? And I hope that you will go on a short-term mission trip. I hope that there may be some of you that God might call to long-term missions, right? I pray that God would continue to use our church to put love and action in our community and to share the good news of the gospel. But maybe some of you are here this morning and you are like the Ethiopian eunuch. You're searching for something. And I'm here to tell you this morning, search no further. Jesus is the answer. God's been preparing you. And if you're here and you don't know Jesus, and our God is at work. Maybe there's been a Philip that's come alongside you, that's been loving on you. Maybe there's been a way that someone has been sharing the good news. Maybe someone's even brought you here this morning. I want you to understand God is working. And if you'll believe and trust in the finished work of the cross, that what Jesus did on that cross, right, that God loved us so much, that he was a missional God, and that he sent his one and only Son who existed eternally with him in this triune God, that he sent his one and only Son out of the glories of heaven into the midst of the brokenness of this world, lived a sinless life, never messed up, never sinned, lived a sinless life, died a sinner's death on a cross in your place. And if you would look to that cross, if you would believe and trust that what Jesus did on that cross, that it was for you, that it was in your place, and you're believing that that there is no other way that we are saved by grace through faith. It's not of works. There's nothing we could do to earn it. But resting our full weight in what Jesus has done on that cross, recognizing that he died on that cross, that he was placed in a barred tomb, and on the third day, he rose from the grave, conquering death and hell and victoriously. Listen, we have a hope that is beyond this anything we could ever imagine. And if that's you, and you're here this morning, maybe you're like that eunuch, God, he's coming for you, right? He is pursuing you. He's drawing you. Our response to that is surrender. Our response to that is just to, by faith, believe and trust, turning from our sin and surrendering to Christ. Man, if that's you here this morning, I pray that during this time of response, we're gonna sing. That's what we do. We're going to sing and we're going to praise our great God. We're going to worship him. And during that time, if you've never trusted in Jesus as Lord and Savior, I pray that you would leave your seat, that you would leave your sin, you would come and just surrender. Just say, I want to trust Jesus. I surrender my life to Christ. That's what Jeff did. And it's been less than a year ago. He walked down this aisle and I said, hey, Jeff, how can I pray for you? And he opened his arms just like this and he said, I surrender. And in that posture, man, we by faith believe and trust in Jesus. And he changes us and he uses us on mission for the glory of his name. Maybe that's you this morning. Maybe you want to pray for someone who God's put on your heart. Maybe you want to pray that you'll be obedient and walk in just in obedience to his call. Whatever God speaks to your heart, I pray you'll be obedient this morning. I'm going to pray and we're going to worship. God, we're grateful. Yes. Lord, we thank you for your love and your mercy and that, God, you reach into the very midst of our brokenness. And you save us. And you send us out on mission for the glory of your name. God, I pray you'd give courage to someone this morning that's never trusted you. God, that they might surrender their life to you. God, and be born again into the family of God. Lord, that they would recognize that they were without hope. But God, who is rich in mercy, has loved them, has allowed them to know who he is. And Lord, that they might respond in surrender. And God, I pray that you would send an army out today of believers that by faith just believe that you're still in the saving business, God, and that you're still working and that you desire to use them for the glory of your name. God, we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Will you stand with me in worship?